Hi, this is Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspur podcast.
Well, we're Hotshot Tottenham, we are the Super Spurs. Everybody knows we're the football connoisseurs. Seven times we've won the cup, the number eight is coming up. We're Hotshot Tottenham.
Yeah, this is the Hot Spurs podcast, the Ginger Pele of Spurs shows, with Colin McKee, the former model from Northern Ireland, and Steve Robinson from Leon C in Essex. With all the latest news and views from White Hart Lane, this is the Hot Spurs podcast.
And they're already done the trick, scored the best goal you ever saw. Now in 97, with David Fleece 11, we're going to do it once more.
Don't really want to do this show this week, Cole, if you don't mind.
That's okay. That's no problem at all then. We'll just hang up.
All right then. Cheers. I'll see you. Call you in a couple of weeks when we've won a game and things are looking rosier. All right?
Okay. See you later, mate. Bye.
Come on. These are the fun ones, aren't they, these shows?
Of course they are, mate. Look, it's not the end of the world. We said it last week, you know, that it was always going to be a tough game. It maybe just came a wee bit early for us. We've got really time to gel. We've made some fantastic signings and just disappointing, Steve, you know, to lose to them. But, you know, there's positives to be taken out of the game as well. You know, there's not many times, you know, teams are going to go to the Emirates and Arsenal are going to park the bus against them. Yeah. And sit back. Yes, they did look dangerous on the counter-attack, but, you know, we'll get into it. But, you know, especially when you look at the second half, we totally dominated that match. And, you know, there's good things, you know, ahead for us, definitely are.
Well, they won their cup final, didn't they?
That's it. Did you see them celebrating again at the end? See that goalkeeper, is it Chesney Hawks?
Yeah.
He just constantly gets them into this circle and they dance about and cheer as if they've actually won something.
Do you know what I don't get? Right, so for years and years, Spurs fans are like, yeah, we beat Arsenal or even we get a draw against Arsenal. We celebrate like crazy, right? Because it is a massive game for us, particularly from in the deepest doldrums from, you know, the early 80s. As soon as we sold Gazza, basically, we went downhill, didn't we, massively. And so for about 10, 15 years, we're down in the doldrums, mid-table, a few semi-finals here and there, maybe a cup. You know, but really not doing too much. So the Arsenal game was our cup final. Of course it was. It was massive. When we beat them, we were celebrating. We went mad. Arsenal had a right go at us, saying, why are you celebrating so much, bringing out DVDs and all this? So they can't do that. They can't then celebrate so much. I mean, we had a couple of good lads on last week. Did you hear the Arsenal show I did?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
they were good lads, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah. I mean, but even he said, the Simon guy said, I said, what your ambitions for this year? First thing he says was to beat Tottenham home and away. I mean, crying out loud, a couple of years ago, it was to win the league, wasn't it? I mean, even a couple of weeks ago, it was to win the league. Well, and, you know, this realisation they've got, you know, they're not going to win the league. I mean, apparently they are now because they've got Ozil. But, you know, listen, we'll get into all that later on.
But you're right what you're saying. I met a couple of Arsenal supporters a few weeks ago, guys that I've known for years. And, of course, they're saying, yous are spending all this money, no chance. And they were so obsessed with Spurs. And I turned around and I said to the guy, I said, guys, hold on a minute, where are you coming from? I said, I thought you were this big club that actually wanted to go for trophies. I said, you're totally obsessed with Spurs now.
Spurs are obsessed with us. We don't even care about them. It's all Man United now.
Yeah, but they should be up there, Steve, you know, with their stadium, with the money that they have, the players that they've had over the last 5, 6, 7 years. You know, they should have been more worried about fighting with Man United and Chelsea than worrying about us, but guys, it just shows how far they've dropped down. And honestly, and we will get into it when we talk about signings, the tide is definitely turned. And Mr. Ozil has come in and they're dancing about there outside the Emirates last night. They needed a lot more. And I was actually quite shocked that they only made one signing. And to me, it was brilliant. I was delighted. They can have him, yes. He's a great player. It's going to take time to settle in like everybody else. But here, if they get a couple of injuries, and we know what Mr. Wilshere's like, they really are going to struggle. They really are.
You know, we'll try and avoid going from place to place and place to place, so we'll carry on with this little conversation. Giroud is going to have to play every game, every Wednesday, right? Because the Champions League, they don't, you know, you can't pick second string. But they haven't got a second string. Giroud's going to have to play everywhere. They don't even like Giroud. I mean, thing is about when we have a little pop at Arsenal, it's not us that says it, it's them. So when we have a little pop at Walcott, it's listening to their fans saying, you know, on TalkSport or whatever you listen to, the podcasts I listen to, so you don't have to. And, you know, it's them popping at them or, you know, saying that they're not good enough. So for the past year, we've heard, and all summer, Giroud's not good enough. Now he's scored three goals, all of a sudden he's the striker. Plus, he's got to play every Wednesday and every Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Two centre-backs, Mertesacker and Koscielny, very, very good players. They were fantastic. I've never seen two centre-backs dominate like that. They haven't got anybody else. They're going to have to play every Wednesday and every Saturday. I mean, how long is that going to last? If it's anything like our players, two games, three games... And they've got to bring in Vermaelen. And again, I think Vermaelen's a great player. Arsenal fans don't. They don't rate him. So, you know, it's not us that's slagging on them, as you would say. It's them. And then we just agree with them, and then they change their mind.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's the great thing. And that's why I sat last night watching the transfer window, and I was delighted. All these people worrying, and seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, Arsenal have done that. And I just went and I smiled and I went, yes, he's a good player. But look at their midfield. You're going on about their defence forward. Look at Ramsey. Look at his history. Look at Wiltshire, his history. If they lose either of those players or Cazorla gets injured, or even, well, I don't want to wish it on the guy, but if Ozil gets injured, they, as you say, they've got no second string and they have got some big games coming up. So, look, we won't waste all of our time talking about them. We'll get into the match, but... Look, I'm not worried about it. We'll get into our transfers here later on. Yeah. And to me, we are so, so strong. Yeah. So strong.
I mean, just one more final thing. 60,000 people in the Emirates, right? Did one fan in there turn to his friend and say, oh, do you know what we need to buy tomorrow? An attacking midfielder. Mm-hmm. And that's all we need. I guarantee that didn't happen. Anyway, let's get into it.
They all said it last night. That's the player they wanted.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say. But they all said it last night. They all said, this is the best thing. It's brilliant. This is just what we needed. And he is a world-class player. There's no doubt about it. But hang on, they've got Cazorla, haven't they? An attacking midfielder. They've got Wilshere, an attacking midfielder, haven't they? Didn't they need someone getting stuck in? Anyway, we'll come back to that later because it is fun.
Yeah.
It is fun to cheer ourselves up. Okay, so... Here we go. We've got the Hotspurs scoring system. Everyone at home groans at that. But it's the best way to go for each player. But we'll try and do it a little bit quicker this time. Right, so, Lloris, you giving him a one, a half, or a zero, Colin?
Definite one. I thought he was outstanding. And to be fair, it possibly could have been 2 or 3 nil without him. I just thought he was brilliant. Coming off his line, that tackle that he made, Steve, was outstanding. If that had been Michael Dawson... You know, would have been jumping up and down. It was superb. He's such a great goalkeeper. To me, he's the best goalkeeper in the league. Possibly, I would put him in the top three in the world. Brilliant. Definite one.
Danny Rose.
I'm still going to give Danny Rose a half. I thought a lot of people blamed him for the first goal. I thought Dawson was very poor, you know, with, you know, not being in line with the defence. But Rose, yes, he did fall a wee bit to sleep, but... He was talking to the Spurs poet the other day, and I said to him, it was actually the first time in a long time where I actually thought Theo Walcott had his quietest game ever against Spurs. And I think it was because I thought Rose kept up with him for pace and was strong against him, and I thought he had a good game.
I'm going to give him a one. He's getting a lot of criticism, but I think for a guy that's coming back into the side, and, you know, he's got how much pressure he's on this kid. You know, and everybody continuously is talking about we need a left back. I mean, it must be so daunting for him. But he comes in. I don't know if he even made the mistake. It was Dawson that made the mistake, wasn't it?
He
pretty much played a decent game. Didn't put too much wrong. Walker, on the other hand, and I'm going to go first on here, gets a big fat zero. What's the matter with him? His passing is atrocious.
I agree. Definitely a zero for me as well. He really frustrated me, Steve, in this game. And a lot of, you know, going backwards, you know, getting the ball, even with throw-ins, you just knew every time he got a throw-in it was being thrown back to Michael Dawson.
Doesn't his but then doesn't his reaction also get annoying? He's throwing his arms up, blaming other people.
Yeah, really frustrating. I agree with you, mate. It was a north for me as well.
And then when he does, you think that, you know, he does put his head in his hands, sort of go, oh, sorry, and apologises. 2 minutes later, he's doing the same thing. You know, it's like, you know, take a check on you. If you make a big mistake, you kick the ball out of play, you didn't mean to do it, fine. Play the next 10, 15 minutes really solidly. Put a couple of little short passes in and you'll be fine. I mean...
And that chance, Steve, at the end, you know...
What a chance. I mean, this is what I said. We sort of said before the game. Football. I said this before the game. Play Cabool at right back. I don't know what was wrong with Cabool, do you?
Don't know. I couldn't understand it because he played the whole game the other night as well.
Somebody had a go at us, didn't he, for not having our knowledge about Townsend. So they say we haven't got good knowledge, but I really haven't heard about Cabool. And by the way, our knowledge is fantastic. And I'm afraid Dawson gets a zero as well. You know, it was his one game, isn't it? He does this every season. There's one or two really, really dodgy games. And this is where the luck came in for Arsenal. It was against them because, you know, he's been fantastic coming into the side. He wasn't very good, though, was he?
No, I was really disappointed, Steve, in him, and we've talked about it on the last show. I love Michael Dawson. I think he's under a wee bit of pressure now with the likes of Cabool come back and obviously a new signing coming in as well. But again, I agree. I give him a nod as well. And just because I thought he was so shaky in that first half, even in the second half when he got the ball, remember he stumbled over it on the halfway line. He just didn't look his confident self, but... You know, we're not going to slag off people too much. It was just one of those bad games for him, but he has been outstanding for us.
Yeah. So, did you give him a zero or a half?
Zero.
Okay. What about Vertonghen?
Vertonghen, I'd give a one.
Yeah.
But, again, as usual, very, very composed on the ball, doesn't do much wrong, and the guy just oozes class, and he's one guy we definitely need to hold on to. And I do think a lot of people... Just to cover the left back area, you know, last season when he moved in there, he was fantastic. Yeah, there was a couple of games he maybe got caught out, but like, what a player to have as cover. And you imagine if something happens to Rose, where we've got Vertonghen to go in, you've got Cabool, Dawson, and how do you pronounce that new guy? Do you know the new centre half?
Yeah, Claritas.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got a lot of cover there, and Vertonghen's just world class to me.
Yeah. I mean, Norton can fill in there as well. But, you know, Danny Rose, we've got to give him some games. Yeah, these guys aren't going to come in and just be fantastic straight off. And by the way, Danny Rose, you know, has been fairly all right.
Yes.
Just going back to Walker there, I just remembered what I was going to say. With regards to Cabool, I tweeted before the game that I'd put Cabool at right back. Do you reckon he would have missed that kick?
I don't. I think Cabool would have put the players and all on the back of the net with it.
Right.
But it was really frustrating because...
Because 2 minutes before, he'd skied one.
Mm-hmm.
Walker had skied one. So it's like, come on, redeem yourself. And he missed the ball. So yeah. He's in danger. What about Cabool?
Cabool, I was slightly disappointed. I'd give him a half. He put himself about good engine. Unfortunately, he got injured. And thankfully, it's not... a really serious one. The rumours went about it was a double leg fracture. But the guy's out for 4 weeks, and obviously there's a 2 week break here, so he'll be back. You know, obviously it was a big game for them. They're only coming into the Premier League to go into the North London Derby, but I still give him a half, but I just sort of expected just a wee bit more. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh, but...
I thought he was slow. It was like, I don't know what their instructions were. It was almost like, you know, the last game... they've been told to get stuck in, and didn't Adebayor just do that and get himself sent off? And this time ABB's gone, you know, just play it a little bit cool, don't go steaming in. And he almost told them the opposite, because they were slow. And I think in the second half, Paulinho perhaps came forward a little bit more, a little bit more urgency. So I'm giving Paulinho a one. But Cabool gets a half just because he was a bit slow. He looked a bit lost to me. But Paulinho's going to get a one.
I give Paulinho a half, mate. I'm going to disagree. I was really, really, really disappointed with him. I was expecting to see... Remember we had mentioned about he was like a Ramirez, you know, getting the ball and driving forward, you know, running past those defenders. again, maybe could have been instructions that he was given on the day, but I just sort of felt he looked very slow. He got the ball. It was just those wee 3-4 yard passes and never really got beyond the Arsenal midfield. And I was really, really disappointed because I was so looking forward to watching him.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to be the guy that would have driven forward and put us in the other areas and got up there and supported Soldado, because the guy got no support the whole game. So it's a half for me, Steve.
He really didn't. And the guy that should have been supporting him, of course, was Dembele, and he gets a big fat zero as well.
Yeah, and giving him a zero as well. Unfortunately, again, we've talked about it. To me, this guy has probably got one of the most ability. Every time I watch him, when he's got this strength. He just seems to be able to just glide past people. But he just, it's as if, you know, I'm just sitting screaming at him. It's a bit like Aaron Lennon sometimes. Just go and do it. Just take it past him, have a shot. And he just doesn't seem to do it. It was a wee bit, again, it was frustrating, but I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it seems to have a chip on his shoulder a little bit. Although there were some great shots of him on the training ground with Andros Townsend, winding him up, having a laugh with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, keeps picking him, you know. So he, you know, we've got faith in him. You know, go for it, Dembele. I'd love to see Dembele as our first choice midfielder.
So would I absolutely love it. I think he's class.
Yeah.
But again, he just needs to do it a bit more. But he's under pressure, so hopefully he can maybe jump up to it.
Yeah. I mean, this Eriksen guy, we don't know what he's going to be like. We've heard he's pretty good. You know, but really, you want Dembele as your creative midfielder, and then Eriksen to come in slowly and you know, take his time to get into the side and get really embedded, and then sort of do the rotation later on in the season. Yeah. We don't want to be in a stage now where we're going, right, Dembele, you know, isn't playing very well, so Eriksen's the answer. Well, we don't know, do we?
Yeah, well, say we'll chat about him when we get onto the transfer end. But, you know, just to round off the score, you know, a wee bit quickly.
Chadley 0.
Chadley 0 for me. Thought the first 15-20 minutes he looked strong, but sort of fade out of the game. And that was one thing I wanted to mention. We'll bring Townsend in there. I'm going to give Townsend a 1.
Definitely.
I thought Townsend really tried. He got the ball. It was direct. See the pace of him?
Mm-hmm.
It was scary. And the commentators kept going about the Spurs fans and the Spurs players hate the way he shoots all the time. That is absolute rubbish. The guy hasn't played enough for anybody to suggest that.
Right, and he's a forward, so he can have as many shots as he wants, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought he was great. Every time, I tell you what, they couldn't cope with him.
Yeah.
And at least the guy took people on and had a go and had a few shots. I thought he was great. And when they made the substitution, I'd have had Chadley off before I had Townsend off.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think, again, if that chance had fallen to Townsend at the end instead of Walker,
yeah,
I'd have put my money on Townsend.
I mean, the last thing we want is to tell Townsend not to have shots. You know, have five shots. How many shots does Frank Lampard have in a game? 20? No, not 20. But he probably has 6 or 7, and he scores probably one in 14. You know, he scores every other game, doesn't he? He has shot after shot after shot. Proper, you know, someone who wants to score. How many shots does Lennon have? 0.
Yeah, I think he's great, and I think the more and more this guy plays, that this is our new Gareth Bale. This guy's a new kid on the block. There's not going to be many defenders who are going to want to play against this boy.
Yeah.
So I thought it was superb.
Cuts inside, has a shot. People are saying play him on the left. That's fine. You know, I think they should swap wings.
In fact,
I think we should really go to 4-4-2 for the next game, but that's another subject altogether. Soldado, what does he get for you? Isolated on his own.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give the guy a half.
Yeah, I'll give him half.
He got no service, Steve.
No.
Absolutely no service. And it was so frustrating for him. He had that one great chance. I know he tried to claim for the penalty. I think it would have been harsh.
Mm.
But, you know, he worked hard. It was nice to see him that time down the corner where he had a wee bit of a go at the linesman, showed a bit of passion.
Yeah.
But, no, look, I'm not worried about Soldado. Soldado's going to be fantastic for us.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Eriksen's going to come in. And maybe Lamela with a bit of support for him, so no worries on that.
We won't do the subs because they didn't really play that long, really, and they should have played a lot longer. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, no, not worried yet. A few should have maybe. I thought Defoe looked quite sharp when he came on. I was glad to see him come on and get a good 20 minutes. And he definitely looks hungry.
Well, Defoe always looks sharp when he comes on, especially against the big sides.
Yeah, true.
But when he starts against the big sides, he goes missing quite a lot. That's the trouble.
But it was such a frustrating game, Steve, to watch. You know, as everybody says it, and I'm exactly the same, I hate watching it. I got up on Sunday morning and the first thought was, oh, brilliant, Super Sunday. Liverpool, Man United, then Spurs, Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just brilliant. Couldn't wait. And then 3:50, I went, oh, no, I can't wait. This thing's over. And I don't know about you, but I struggle to enjoy these games. And the first half, it was just frustrating. But, you know, the positives, as I said earlier on in the show, I thought the way we came out the second half, and Steve, we have never done that, especially at the Emirates or even at Highbury. We have never dominated. And look at the possession we had against Arsenal on their home ground. And I took massive, after the game, sort of went, you know what, there's a lot of positives to take out of it. We're still players to come into that side, still the bet in. And look, I'm more than confident we're a very, very strong side this year. And I'll say it now, we'll definitely finish above Arsenal. I'm not scared to say it, definitely finish above them.
Well, we'll wait and see, obviously, on that one. But, you know, it was like watching... It reminded me of when we played West Ham a few seasons ago. And West Ham beat us 1-0. And it was like, you know, it was a great result for them. It was their cup final. And literally, this is how it felt to me. You know, we matched them in terms of number of shots. We matched them in terms of all the statistics. And we even had more possession. You know, they were better on the counter-attack. But of course they were, because they had to counter-attack, because they stuck everybody behind the ball. And so it was as if... you know, they were playing a better side. And then when at the end of the game, obviously they won 1-0, they celebrated like crazy, which, you know, they're not allowed to do if they have a go at us for it. You know, we can celebrate, of course we can, because we say quite openly, we love beating Arsenal. So we can do it. So, but hey, you know, We move on. So,
yeah,
anything else you want to say about the game? By the way, 5 out of 11 you gave them. I gave them 6 out of 11, so not very good.
Okay, I'll probably get slagged again from the scoring points.
I think you were right on most of those, mate.
Yeah, but look, just to round it off, in a way, I'm sort of glad the game was early. It's usually a November game or a March game that we're at the Emirates, and there's a lot counting on it. I think it's quite nice to actually have it out of the way. And, you know, we can put it to bed. We were 3 points clear of them going into the game anyhow. We're sitting there on 6 points. We're 3 off the top of the league. You know, everybody, it's early, early days. We've got 7 new players into the squad. You know, a couple of weeks break here. Most of the players are obviously going to be away, but we've time to gel. And I can only see positives from it, Steve. But I don't know how you feel. I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah.
I'm glad that game's out of the way and we can just move on now from it.
Yeah, and don't forget that, you know, in the games coming up, we're going to be playing Thursdays. I looked at the fixtures, actually. There's a lot of Thursday-Saturday games. Now, the Saturday games are at home, but they've decided not, by the looks of it, to change to Sundays.
Right.
And there's one in particular, I think, where we go to Russia on the Thursday, play at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we've got a game, I think it's West Ham on the Saturday at 3 o'clock. So, quite interesting.
But that has to be changed, Steve. Well, I can't see that happening.
Well, the only thing I would say about that is that isn't that a clear indication that we're going to play two different sides, which we should be doing anyway. So we'll play a Europa side, and then we'll play... So, in fact, they won't have to travel. You know, so we send out the second string, if you like, and then we keep people at home ready, fresh, or whatever, or they travel as well, but they just don't play. Funny enough, if I was a professional footballer, I'd want, you know, that would be absolutely fine for me. Thursday in Russia, lovely. Fly back Friday, play on Saturday, beautiful.
But see,
modern,
you know,
footballers can't do that, of course.
If you look at the team. You look at that team that played was it Tbilisi, Dynamo Tbilisi, last Thursday night. And well, quickly, what a performance.
Yeah.
But look, what a team. And someone put, there was loads of people put stuff up on Facebook there after we'd signed Lamela and Eriksen. And you looked, we had 2 and 3 players for every position. And it was scary. You know, we can go out to Russia with a team of, say, Friedel, even if Kyle Walker, or say you play Norton, you play
Kabul. Zeki Friars.
Yeah, you know, Kabul, Dawson.
Kuriches, Dawson.
Dembele, Sigerson. Yeah.
Absolutely, Holtby.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And we'll give Holtby a massive, what a goal.
Yeah.
And what a fantastic celebration there to do the Klinsmann dive.
Yeah.
I love that guy. I think he's brilliant. I love his tweets. And he seems to absolutely love Spurs. Well, here, I was going to bring him up tonight. I said after the Arsenal game, I sort of felt we were missing the likes of a Giroud. The way I think I was hoping yesterday on the deadline day that we might have, I know there was rumours about Demba Ba. I think we do need that big guy up front that might just be that bit of presence for Soldado to play off.
Yeah.
And look, Ali Bayor's still there, Steve. I know everybody slags him. If we can get that guy with his right head on, like he was two seasons ago, like he can be a massive player for us again. But I just don't know what's going on with him. I don't know whether he's even going to play. But it will be very, very interesting to see what happens now with him.
Well, let's take a breath. We'll listen to a poem. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
This newfound era we do embark. Wait. I hear a cockerel lark. Wait, I see a rising dawn. Out from the dark the cockerel shone. Head held high and full of pride. Wait, as the passion burns inside. Wait, the echo of a glorious past. Into the light with the cockerel fast. Sleeping giants now awake. Wait, a force that we doth make. Wait, a feeling growing strong. That cockerel perched where it should belong. Worship down to the fellered friend. Wait, the spending just will not end. Wait, when will this excitement stop? This cockerel rising to the top. Watching down for all to see. Wait, the fire rages in me. Wait, the call to sound the start. The cockerel fills my beating heart. Bellow out the cockerel's roar. Wait, we hear the park lane soar. Wait, the shelf shimmers in white. All the time under the cockerel's sight. The cockerel on the shirt we love. Wait, not only is he perched above. Wait, he's very much in our hearts as well. The cockerel has a passionate story to tell. My eyes have seen the glory. The cockerel has felt the pain. The cockerel sets its standards so high at White Hart Lane. The waiting is now over. The cockerel, you must rise. Call out and bring us glory right before our very eyes.
Right, great poem, there by Davy Elder, the Spurs poet.
Yeah, brilliant as usual, Davy.
Check out his Facebook page. All his poems are on there. And I think he writes those poems during his lunchtime, eating his cheese and pickle sandwiches. Is that right?
He does indeed. He loves it. I think he's doing it all day. And then phones me and sings them down the phone to me.
Oh, beautiful. Serenading each other. Isn't that a lovely thing? Right, so we're talking about Adebayor. I mean, Benny's gone. Lots of people not happy about that. You know, and you've got to realise that these things aren't done to spite anybody. AVB cutting his nose off to spite his face. Sorry, if AVB turns up day one and doesn't show a good attitude, AVB is fully right to go, listen, you know, we need players who are going to fight. We finished fifth last year. I can't have players coming in and, you know, mucking around. You know, we know that there's a bit of a bromance going on with him and Adebayor. And sorry, you can't do that. It's almost like Benny's become a parody of himself because he made that comment a few years ago. It's not about football for me. It's about the money and it's just a job. And I don't believe that. I think he's semi-joking because I've seen him play very passionately and he's a very good player. But it's almost like I think he came in on day one. Complete speculation, but obviously what he said or his attitude wasn't good enough. AVB said, don't bother turning up tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm slightly disappointed that he's gone because I think for cover for Rose this year, but as I said, we've chatted earlier, we've also got for Togan or Norton, but I'm disappointed. I love Benny, and as you say, there were some games he was outstanding for us, but Something's definitely went on, but look, in AVB, you know...
Shows you a bit of a measure of it that he's gone to QPR, and he's not said, wait there, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm a Spurs player. Danny Rose is all right, but I'm better than him. I'll fight for my place, thank you very much. No, he said, oh, yeah, I'll go to QPR, no problem. well, hang on a minute, yeah. Benny. You know, I really like him, but something's happened there. So we better.
Yeah, no, you're
to,
right.
And it's good you're because right. Adebayor, relationship they've got, you know, become really good mates. He scored the goal, didn't he? Came up right over to the bench to celebrate with his pal, and he should have been celebrating on the pitch. Adebayor, hopefully, you know, they've said to him, right, you know, your soppy mate's gone now. You've got to knuckle down now. And, you know, do you want to play for this football club or not?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, there's Soldado, there's Defoe, and there's Adebayor.
Yeah.
And, you know, three fantastic strikers. And let's just hope this guy does get his head on, as I said.
Because we need him.
Yeah, we definitely do. You know, you imagine him against Arsenal on Sunday on form.
Yeah.
There's times, and you remember when he played for Arsenal against us.
Yeah.
He was unplayable. Unplayable.
We got Levy, who's a poacher. We've got Defoe, who's a poacher. Gets in the box, gets on the end of things. Brilliant impact player. Soldado, who's works really hard. He's been working really hard, isn't he? And we've got Adebayor, who's unconventional. And he's good in the air when he chooses to be.
Yeah. No, it's all looking good. But shall we get the fantasy football out of the way, Steve?
Yeah,
and then we can chat about some transfer, what we've done.
Yeah.
Okay, quick fantasy football roundup. First place is Alex Scott, and with Tommy Brown, Nick Alexander, Stephen Taylor, Jason Maxwell, Robert Palmer, Joshua Panther, Neil Webb, Clay Adamson, and Chris James. Steve, you've dropped down to 96th place.
I haven't made any subs, right. I'm definitely going to do it for next game.
Now, hold on a minute. You told us at the start of the season you were going to do it properly this year. Now, if you aren't going to do it properly, I'm actually not even going to call your name out. I'm just going to say that you've got scum players or something in your team. But
no, I'm doing it.
You've dropped down to 96th. I'm in 30th place. So I've jumped up another bit. I'm not that far off the top 10, so I'm coming for you guys. I need to get my name in that top 10 again. The most points this week with 62 was Chris James, who's also in the top 10. There was a guy that had 66 points, but he had two scum players on his team. So, unfortunately, mate, you're not getting your name read out.
Can you have the Arsenal player
One of them was Murder Sacker.
My goodness. Couldn't believe it.
And here, just bottom of the league, Lee Berry, Angus Doddall, Jason Richardson, Lee Wilson, Eddie Bra, and Simon Short. So, guys, you're a bit like Steve. Get some transfers made and get moving up that league.
I will do. Where are you again?
30th. I'm just 66 places ahead of you. So
right, before the Norwich game. shout-outs go to Richard Johnson, to Danny North, to Guzzler, to Arnold Lane, also to Steve Worrell, and I think Simo as well, all retweeted about the Stacey appeal. So keep doing that, guys, and you know, that's very, very important. And then we'll move on, because we're running out of time, unfortunately, to some other chats. Have we got any more shout-outs there, mate?
I just will do one, because I know it just came in a bit late last week, for Jason McGovern out in Thailand. They're now an official supporters club, the official Thailand Spurs supporters club. So, and also, Jason's just joined Twitter, so it's at Jason Spurs Shop, I think it is.
Yeah.
So if you go onto ours and you look through our followers, you'll find Jason. And just a massive shout out to all those Thailand guys. They're now an official supporters club, so that's brilliant stuff. Brilliant work, Jason.
If you don't like Adebayor, follow Jason. He'll keep you entertained with Adebayor tweets all day, I'm sure.
Yes. And right. Again, as you mentioned, they're brilliant for everybody that retweeted the Saving Stacey appeal.
Yeah.
So, guys,
that's
keep
really
doing that there.
Really important. Okay, mate, we've got to chat about these transfers. Okay, I'm going to come into this like this. I always like to look at the alternative view. So coming home the other day, after the, was it Swansea game, I think it was, listening to TalkSport, and it was just the same old opinions. Three blokes saying the same stuff that's been said all through the summer, all about Gareth Bale, one-man team, all that sort of stuff. It was like, can we have a different opinion? So what obviously came out of the whole transfer thing was the special relationship. right? Now, I know that as a podcast, we did retweet that, or we put the message out. That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That,
yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So which is fine, okay, but you've also got to look at the other side, okay? Now, nobody knows what this special relationship thing is, okay? No one knows what was said, no one knows. I mean, it could be that they said last year, okay, you can have Modric, but you're not allowed to go after Bale, and you can't sell anyone to Arsenal. I think that's what everybody got in their head. That's what everybody's mind. And also, if any players come up for Real Madrid who can't quite get in our first team, we'll sell them to you. Well, and that hasn't happened. So a few things there have and haven't happened. But people are really disappointed. But this really came out when it said that Man United were going to buy the left-back, or we're going to get the left-back on loan, who we've been after. You know, and it's everyone's going crazy. Well, I can't believe it. They're going to do this. Well, in the end, he didn't go. He's staying at Real Madrid. You know, we have to have a little realization here a little bit that although we love Tottenham and we think they're the biggest club in the world, they're actually not. Real Madrid are the biggest club in the world, probably closely followed by Man United and Barcelona. And when, you know, you're playing for one of these sides, and a club like Tottenham come along, great club. Probably in the top 20 clubs, I would have thought, in the world, maybe top 15 in terms of money and finances and size and what have you. I mean, but in terms of success, you know, probably outside of that. So a guy from Portugal, even though he might be best mates with AVB, ain't going to turn around if he's getting if he's playing for Real Madrid and say, yeah, you know, I'm going to go there. You know, we've got to have a little bit of realisation. And if Man United come in, you know, yeah, all right, well, I wouldn't mind going to Man United. You know, so you've got to think about the player a little bit here. And also, with this special relationship, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, do you really think that Daniel Levy has agreed to this relationship with a mind to it not being in an interest for Spurs? I mean, Daniel Levy wants the best for Spurs, doesn't he? He knows that a successful Tottenham will give him the most money, if you think it's all about money. The most successful clubs are the most financially, you know, best clubs are, richest clubs are the most successful clubs. I mean, the richest club isn't Everton, is it? You know, it's Man United, it's Real Madrid, and that's because they're so successful. So he knows that, Daniel Levy. So whatever he decision he makes is always for the best of Tottenham, and so we've got to have a realisation for that. So whatever this special relationship was, it could be that last year they said, right, we want Modric, and he said, okay, you know, in the end, 35 million is enough, but I'll tell you what, we'll give you Modric for 35 million, but next year, if you want Bale, you've got to beat the world record. And they said, okay, well, you know, and that's what this special relationship is. We just don't know. But, you know, it's amazing that we sit here and we're speculating and we think we've been done and all this sort of stuff. We've just got £120 million for two players that, by the way, didn't want to kick a ball for Tottenham Hotspur anymore.
Yeah, exactly right. And great point, Steve. And it is, and we've said it before, it's like if I got a phone call and any of us Spurs fans listen to this show, if we got a phone call tomorrow and said, look, guys, Real Madrid are on the phone, they're going to sign you, or look, Tottenham Hotspur are on the phone, they're going to sign you, I would jump at Tottenham Hotspur. That's because I'm Spurs all my life, Spurs through and through, absolutely love it. And to me, Spurs are the biggest club in the world. And you'd be the same. You know, you imagine that opportunity to run out at White Hart Lane and score a goal at White Hart Lane. We would give anything. But, you know, we have to be realistic about it. You know, the likes of Gareth Bale and these other players. If these clubs come in and they're offering Champions League football and crazy money, you know, it can't. And a club of our size, Man United couldn't turn down 80 million for Ronaldo. You know, we couldn't turn it down.
That's
you know.
It. People were saying, oh, we're a selling club. Well, every single
rubbish.
Club in the world is a selling club. Every single club. Barcelona
had
to sell Figo to Real Madrid.
That's right. And look, it's like this. If Chelsea or Man City went in and offered £100 million for Messi, they'd be more likely probably get him and offer him half a million. You know? Of course they would. So, look, yeah, you're right. We have to be realistic. There's a lot of people on Twitter and and Facebook and things just talk some rubbish, you know. But that's, look,
I mean, this special relationship, you know, that's what I'm saying. So that Real Madrid could have said, all right, well, you know, there's Modric, there's the Modric money. And then this year they could have said, you know, 60 million. I mean, let's face it, at the end of last season, we'd have taken 60 million. We've had the conversation. You know, go back and listen to the podcast. 60 yeah. million is a hell of a lot of money.
Exactly.
You know, but we've got £85 million for one player.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Do you know the great thing, and again, I spoke to a guy about this the other day, the main thing and the big difference was this year that we went out and spent the money at the right time yeah. before the deal was done. And look, massive shout-out. We were talking about shout-outs. Our biggest shout-out should be to Daniel Levy for what he's done.
He kept them waiting. He said, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
You know, we don't say that to West Ham, do we? We don't oh, yeah, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, what was our chant? West Ham's our feeder club.
Yep.
And if we wanted a player from West Ham, we just said, right, we'll have him. And we gave them the money, they came. They never said, oh, wait, we want to get a player in first and all this. You know, and Ajax, that's the other example. You know, we just gone into Ajax, who we've got a very special relationship with, you know, not officially, but of course the connections with Tottenham and Amsterdam and what have you. And we go and get their best two players. I bet Amsterdam fans, Ajax fans are absolutely livid with us for going and buying their two. But plus, we haven't played very much money for them. Plus, they're fantastic. Well, we know that Vertonghen is anyway.
Yeah.
We've done it all through our history.
Yeah, that's right.
There's and, always you know, a bigger say, fish.
But the big thing, the big difference was that we went out and spent the money. You know, if we had a good 85.3 million or whatever it is for Gareth Bale, and we went out and bought Paulinho and say Chadley, and maybe brought in on, you know, Contrao on the last day on loan, we'd all be devastated. We'd be going, oh, look at the money we've got. But here, the man spent the money this time.
Yeah.
And if we even just go through, because we've talked about the other guys on other podcasts, we just go through the last three signings. I think it's Claridge's, I can't pronounce his name properly, probably. We'll get used to it. What I've seen of him, what I've heard about him, this guy oozes absolute class. He's like another, he's probably like a better Michael Dawson, if you would say.
And Steaua Bucharest are in the Champions League, by the way.
Champions League. So, look, massive signing
for us. He's going to be got these guys.
And then we jump on to Eriksen. Look, everybody's been talking about Eriksen. And we got this guy for $11.5 million. Everton last night signed James McCarthy for $13 million.
Right.
And we got Eriksen from Ajax. And again, I've been watching him on YouTube. And against England, was it last year or the year before? He tore England apart at Wembley. He is going to be a top, top player for us. And the words that he's saying already about can't wait to play, it's going to be like playing the Champions League every week. Brilliant to hear him. And then we broke the record against Steve and brought in Lamela. Again, don't know too much about the guy. He's only 21, I think. But the guy scored something like 16 goals in so many starts for Roma last year in Serie A and not with even one of the top Italian clubs. You know, that speaks volumes. Speaks absolute volumes.
Again, he's someone that everybody's raving about. You know, we've not brought anybody in who's a question mark. Everybody that's come in, they've said, right. But, just going back, one final thing on this, you know, it's not as if every player's got a price. When you get a realisation of that, then you're halfway there. Then you say, okay, how much, you know, what club do you want them to go to? You know, we've not sold them to Arsenal. You know, we've sold them to Real Madrid, the biggest club in the world. And we've got this, whatever this special relationship is, and they've paid for one player, 85 million, another player, 35 million, 120 million for two players, you know, in the space of what, 13 months, you know, relatively. And then the Ozil thing, oh, they shouldn't sell a player to Arsenal, right? Well, wait there. What if Arsenal said, we want, what if two things? What if Real Madrid said, well, we can't buy Bale unless we sell one of our players, and the only player we can sell who stoke up enough money is Arsenal. Well, we go, well, no. Well, in that case, we've got Bale. We can't sell him, which means we can't recoup the money for the players we just bought. Plus, we've got Bale who doesn't want to play for us anymore. So there's that situation. Plus, you've got Ozil who, you know, say Arsenal offered 30 million And they said, no, we're not going to take 30 million, you know, on the phone to Levy. We've got Arsenal, they've offered 30. And Levy goes, well, sorry, you promised us you weren't going to sell to Arsenal. Well, what if they offer a bit more? Well, they've offered 35. No, you promised you weren't going to. Well, what if, they, you know, and they've, it's just a, you know, a conversation that could have happened. They've offered 42 and a half. Oh, do you know what? Fine. You know, and all those things could have combined. Nobody knows what's happened. But you can't ask Real Madrid not to sell a player they don't want for 42 million. Of course they're going to do that. You know, they're going to phone Levy and say, listen, I'm sorry, we want to buy Bale. We can't buy Bale without getting rid of a player. Arsenal have bid 42 million. What do you want to do? And Levy's must have gone, you know, we need to fund these players we've just bought. We're going to do it on the Bale sell. You can't, blah, 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 blah. And that's how it all's panned out.
Yeah, look, exactly, you know, to round it all off, Steve, what a summer we've had. If someone had said, you know, at the end of June or whatever it was, May, that Spurs were going to go out and spend £109 million on seven absolutely fantastic footballers. And I download the 606 podcast. I don't know if you listen to it, the football phone-in.
No.
You know, when obviously the games finish on a Saturday and a Sunday, and there was Arsenal fans galore obviously on Sunday. And, you know, this guy phoned in and he was going to Ian Wright, you know, Spurs have went out and they've spent all this money on people that nobody's ever heard of. And I'm sitting going, you know, you have to come back. Nobody's ever heard of Pelinio. You know,
Soldado.
No, you know, Soldado. Oh, aye, nobody's ever heard of him. Nobody's ever heard of Christian Eriksen. You know, crazy, but it's been an absolutely brilliant summer for us transfer-wise. Yesterday was the strangest transfer window ever, because usually I'm still sitting up at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning just waiting to see. Do you remember the one, was it last year or the other January? It was meant to be, we got someone at the last minute and then it fell through.
Yeah.
And, oh, you know, but yesterday was, I just sat there and I actually don't think we are, but it was Montino, but it was a brilliant transfer window for us, and I for one just can't wait for the season really to kick in and to get to see what way Spurs are going to play. We're going to be a really, really strong team and a hard team to beat.
All in all, imagine the transfer window. Every bit of transfer business was done yesterday. Imagine watching Jim White. Spurs have signed another one. Spurs, and at the end of it, they list seven players that Spurs have bought to one player that Arsenal have bought. And although he's a world-class player, they don't need an attacking midfielder. They need a striker, and they need a centre-back, and they didn't get it. And plus, the goalkeeper's rubbish as well. Right, Cole, I won't speak to you next week. We've got Norwich in a couple of weeks.
Don't
bank on
3 points
because it doesn't work that way, but hopefully we will.
Hopefully we will, mate. And look, guys,
we'll be all right in the long run.
Yeah, third game of the season. Forget about the scum beatness. Doesn't matter anymore. Seven new players to bed in. The future's definitely bright, as Big Kev always says. Yeah. And I can't wait.
And by the way, when we beat no one remembers us beating Arsenal at the end of last season. Everyone remembers about the league position. So, you know, as long as we finish above them this year, they can beat us twice if they want. Legitimised if we finish above them. All right, Carl.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.